RSM Air Public Affairs program every Sunday morning and then online at WHLC.com. Everybody in Boston, and maybe they're listening, running in Boston. What'd you do?
I ran outside the Boston in the old colonial city of Dedham. Ran a 10K with the USATF Grand Prix Tour. I was running with the Atlanta Track Club team.
Look at you.
It's real funny. Last year, I had a real good showing. This year, the beginning of this race, nationally, I was 28th in my age division. I'm hoping that after they post the results of this race, I will have moved up because I only have one more Grand Prix race to do for this year.
Can we get you like a Highlands jersey or something? We need to send you out there. Do you have to wear a specific jersey when you're running?
Oh, yeah. I have to wear the Atlanta Track Club okay. official jersey. And let me tell you, Steve, before the race, one of our coordinators makes us all line up and make sure that our uniforms all in order. Maybe I can wear a special jersey when we have the Highlands Twilight 5K in August that will benefit, you know, so many nonprofits here in Highlands. Maybe I can come up with a jersey that I can wear for that, because I will be entering that. I'll be 75 at that time, and I have a sneaking suspicion that if I'm in any condition at all, I might set the course record for 75 to 79 year old. We'll see what happens.
Now, your community coffee was held on April 21st. And boy, talking about helping Highlands, the land trust. And we wanted to say goodbye to Gary Wine as he retires now and hands the reins over to somebody else.
Gary's been here for 17 years as the executive director of the land trust. Gary's been one of my advisors on issues of land conservation. He's been right up on his field of land conservation, and I've really enjoyed working with Gary as the mayor. He will be missed. And Lance Harden, who has been working with the Land Trust, Lance will be moving into Gary's position as the executive director. Lance is a retired CPA. He's worked with nonprofits, and something that I learned at the coffee, he went back and got another undergraduate degree in Appalachian Studies at Outstate. So I think he has a great perspective on the needs of the land trust and the community. And as Gary said at the coffee when it was announced that Lance will be the new director, he's very comfortable retiring and moving to Eastern Kentucky with his wife, because he is really confident that there will be a great transition with Lance taking over. Gary did a presentation to the group where he said that Highlands is a very diverse community. And what he meant by that was we have a diversity of nonprofit organizations that work together to form a stronger, you know, effort. And he did cite that the Land Trust has had close ties with the Greenway, the Biological Station, and other community groups to, you know, take a lead in conserving all the land and the sensitive environments of the Highlands and Cashiers Plateau.
Now, how many people, citizens, bodies, you know, can Highlands handle and before it starts to degrade?
Well, you know, in his talk, Gary cited that. He called it carrying capacity, which was kind of a new idea to me. But we had this discussion, and I think it's a very important one. Given this environment, this terrain, this location, the question is, how many people can we have here and still preserve the environment and this sense of community, this small village community? It's a big question that we'll have to address in the future. We'll have to rely on things like our comprehensive plan and input from all of these nonprofit groups that want to see only the best for the Highlands and Cashiers community. So that's going to be a challenge that Gary pointed out in his presentation to the group at the coffee, that's going to be a real balancing act going into the future. I didn't realize that he said that when he first started some 17 years ago, they had maybe 1,000 acres in conservation. Now they're over 4,000 acres and growing. And the land trust is the oldest one in the state, kind of like with our Hudson Library. It really kind of shines a light on this idea that this has been a very caring community with a lot of nonprofits that, you know, really contribute to the quality of life here in Highlands.
And thanks for the upgrade. No, thank you for the update now about what's going on in Raleigh. I can't imagine 1,500 bills have been proposed, and maybe just a few gets a, you know, take a look at.
Yeah.
Maybe just a few. We look at just a few, and you've got the HB 409, the House bill, and that's accessory building. What is that?
That's correct. And actually, what Gary's talking about with conservation, carrying capacity, and then what's happening in Raleigh, they all relate. And the House Bill 409 basically is saying that any residential area in North Carolina, a property owner can build an accessory dwelling unit and rent it out or allow someone to stay there and live there. I think the spirit of that is that it helps address workforce housing and the, you know, housing shortage, which is very, you know, important. But some of these bills kind of conflict with some of the existing ordinances that we have. For example, this bill would say that you can put one of these dwelling units 5 feet away from your property line. Well, we have a 10-foot setback from the property line, but the bill would override the existing ordinance and allow it to be placed 5 feet away. So there are these bills that are coming forward that not just us folks in Highlands are looking at, but communities throughout Western Carolina and North Carolina are also looking at what would be the impact of certain pieces of legislation on towns and cities if they are passed.
And SB 317, the workforce housing. Now, one size does not fit all.
Well, I know Commissioner Patterson has told me that many times, that what her problem is with these sweeping mandates from the state, they don't take into account the unique qualities of a given community. And as you say, one size might not appropriately fit all situations.
And SB 17, that workforce housing, is there some kind of consensus about what they're going to do? Doesn't that take away some of our individuality?
Well, here's what that bill would say. It basically, if you have a certain number of acreage for workforce housing, it can be placed in any residential zone. That would really have an impact on a lot of communities. If you have a single-family residential area, but there's a big tract of land, and somebody decided to put workforce housing in the middle of that residential zone. Now, I will just say this. In Highlands, I'm not sure that it will have that much of an impact because we don't have those large tracts. Gary Wine, in his presentation, we were talking about this. Some of the best land that we've had has already been built, and the concern now is that people are trying to put houses on highly distressed slopes and in bogs and so forth, which would not really be good for the overall environment here in Highlands. And the idea of putting these large units within residential areas, they will have an impact also.
Yeah, honey, it's just rained 5 inches. Here comes the river around our house. SB 515, water outside, being delivered outside the city limits, 25% higher. I know you've got some issues about that.
Well, we have, over the years, my gosh, maybe 50 years now, have had water lines go out beyond the city limits. When those things were allowed, those projects were allowed, the agreement was that the people that living and received the water outside the city limits would pay a double water rate. If this bill comes to fruition, then it's reduced to 25%. The Mayor's Association, as soon as that bill was introduced, almost every mayor in the state said, no, bad idea. And financially, that would really have a negative impact on towns and cities if they can't compensate for the investment that it takes to have water lines outside the city. Let me give you an example of what the problem is. Over the last 50 years, we put in or allowed water lines to be run outside the city limits. Many of them, we took over the ownership of those lines. In the last few years, we've spent almost $1 million replacing many of those water lines. Now, if we can't charge a double rate, it really negatively impacts our water department funds because, you know, the people that are living outside the town are not paying town taxes. So I think it's reasonable that they should be paying a significantly higher rate for a service that all the people that live inside the town have too. So I'm hoping that that bill will be changed, and I'm sure that all the mayors in North Carolina that have the similar situation would agree with me that that's not a good bill.
Yeah, stay tuned on that. You brought up a name, Lake Silver, and health fans, tell us about that.
Yes, I had a good meeting with Lake. He is the field representative for our new congressman, Chuck Edwards, and they have an innovative program of having a health van, and they will have the congressman, some of his staff people in the van, and they go from town to town in the district, and they just pull up to an area like a shopping center or somewhere, and they encourage people, we're going to be here for the afternoon. If you're having a problem with your Medicare, Social Security, anything like that, come up to the van, and we will have a staff member that will help you out in addressing those problems. So when Lake was meeting with me and said, they had this program, I said, well, when you get a chance, bring that van over to Highlands, and we'll let you park right at Town Hall so folks can just come up and get help. And that will be coming to Highlands in the near future.
Oh, refreshing. And I know this is close to your heart, the task force being put together to improve child care.
That's correct. There's been a task force of nonprofit groups and church groups for the last well over a year trying to find creative solutions to address the critical areas of child care. One is the pre-K initiative that we've talked about. Another area is the infant care that our Highlands Child Care Center, they're the experts on that, and it takes a lot of regulation from the state and everything to provide those kind of services. But there's still this need for child care, especially after school child care. You know, parents work, and then their children get out of school at 3:30. Where do the children go? So we're looking at how to address that. We have the Houston house that was torn down at the rec park, so we're kind of limited right now on providing after-school care. But Josh Ward and I, a number of days ago, after I was at the meeting of the task force, we went over and met with the leadership of the Boys and Girls Club in Cashers. They've done a wonderful job. They've got a great facility and a wonderful program, and we got the grand tour and asked them about how they operate their after-school program. And those discussions are going to continue because I think we could learn a lot from their leadership in the Boys and Girls Club, and maybe there's some partnerships that we can establish between the Boys and Girls Club and Cashers for them to start operations here in Highlands so our children will have that service also. So I'll keep everyone posted, but I think there's some opportunities to improve the after-school options here in Highlands.